We thank you for taking the time to listen to this teaching from Metro Church. We hope this inspiring message will empower and enrich your life.
You know what? Have you ever felt like a failure? Have you ever felt like you just couldn't get it right? I'm sure that's exactly how Peter felt. You know, Peter denied Christ so many times. But the fact was, it was the revelation in which he had of Jesus that right here, Jesus said, "Peter, on your revelation, on that rock, I will build my house and the gates of hell won't prevail against it." Can I tell you, if we can just have a little mustard seed of faith, if we can just have a revelation of who Jesus is, everything can change. Don't worry about your past and what didn't go right. Let's move forward in Christ. Come on, be the rock that he's called us to be. So it's interesting. I record this video and you walk through this whole place and you're looking at the church and you know, everyone's going, "Yeah, that's where it happened," because that's where the church was built. And then you go and do your own studies and you look and figure it out and you go, "That's not exactly where it happened." And then you go, "Oh, well, they built a church here for memory of that." So anyway, you want to be confused sometimes about where everything happened 2,000 years ago. That's what my life has been about. But the fact is, there's a big church on a big rock about a story we're going to be talking about. Is that okay? that's a great segue, isn't it? You guys like that? But what I do want to do is show you, where is I? Go back to your notes. This location, you know, this area was a place where Jesus ministered to Peter. We do know that. It was on, you know, the coastline of Galilee. And it is steps from where he was actually reinstated to ministry after denying Jesus, which we had talked about earlier in this year. Or no, we didn't. We'll get there because I've got that. But we did preach on that recently. But a church was erected there, what is now known as Mensa Christi, or the Christ Table rock formation. It was there. So let's go to some of these pictures. I don't know why the media was glitching. Sorry, guys. When we decide to go to media, stuff happens, apparently. So you can actually literally see the church is built, and the rock is coming up in the altar area. So they just kind of built it on a rock and allowed the rock to just kind of stay there. Let's go to the next picture. You can see all of they call this Christ's table rock formation. This, all these rocks here, it was built right upon there. That guy's named Steve. He was with me on the trip. You always need a Steve with you. I'm just saying. And right outside of it is kind of this amphitheater where, you know, all sorts of services happen. But I just kind of want to let you see the surroundings a little bit. Is there any more? Did I give you one more? Oh, I thought this was amazing. As I was there, I was watching doves descend and sit on the top of the church. And the symbolism there screams about the Holy Spirit coming and resting on the church. But the fact is, the church isn't four walls. What's the temple? We're the temple. And so you can actually see a dove here, and then one right there on the corner there, just absolutely amazing. I was like, whoa, okay. And so, literally a church was built on a rock. To remember when Jesus spoke of building the church on Peter. What happened in that story? What did it really mean? And what does it mean to us today? Will you follow along with me? This story occurs in summer of 29 AD, and we're going to be in Matthew 16. It says this. He asked his disciples, Jesus speaking, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." How many know that that's not a bad thing to be compared to? When you understand the Old Testament scripture, you realize, okay, they think Jesus is one of these top guys. They think, you know, hey, maybe he's even reincarnated as one of them or one that came back to life. Like, he is so amazingly powerful, he must be one of these. Okay, let's go back. How many know they were wrong? But that's what they thought. "But what about you?" Jesus said. He asked, "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter. How many remember Simon's name was Simon, and Jesus changed his name to Peter? Okay, we're going to get there. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Whoa! Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah." Can I stop for a minute? Who on earth names their kid Jonah after what happened to Jonah when you're involved in a fishing village? I just thought about that. Okay. All right, go back to this. That just came to me. Sorry, that you live in my head. Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell," or Hades, "will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. You go, why on earth would he tell them not to tell anybody? Because he had work to do before he was going to be crucified. He's like, look, the time has not yet come. I love that you have this revelation, but yeah. And so when I read this thing, Jesus, was he literally, did he mean that literally Peter was going to be elevated to a permanent place above other humans? Is that what he could mean by this? And that the church would be on the back of his and others to follow him, kind of a hand of God mentality? Is that what he could mean? Because he says, on this rock, he's talking to Peter, right? And so could it literally be that he, because a lot of people believe this, they believe that in that moment, he was elevating Peter to a place that no other human would be. And that he would literally become the father of the church and the first of what would be many other people that became the hand of God. Is that what this means? I want to go there because you know what? I understand where we are. I understand what a lot of beliefs are towards the scripture. But I've got to tell you, based on what we see with the Apostle Paul, I'd say no. Right? So did he literally mean that? No. We know that the place that people are referring to as above other humans, that place is only reserved for Jesus alone. Did you hear me? It's only, I know that as humans, we like to build hierarchy so that we understand, and some people are hungry for power and all the other things. But the only place above humanity, the only person above humans that was a person is Jesus. And so I'm just trying to help us understand something here. And he was speaking, though. What was he speaking to? He was speaking to the moment in which Peter was the first to experience. Did you hear me? When he said, hey, on this rock, I will build my church. I know people go, well, Peter, translated, means rock. So he must have literally been meaning Peter. He was talking about the moment that Peter just had, who was the first to have the experience. And we're going to get into that and help you understand this. But listen, we know that Jesus changed Peter's name early on to Peter, which does mean rock. But if Jesus was not speaking of building the Christian church on Peter specifically, what was the rock or firm foundation he was speaking of in this story? You ready to break it down? Break it down. Jesus's church is built on the rock of, number one, a personal revelation. The church is built on personal revelations. It's built on my personal revelation of Jesus and your personal revelation of Jesus and the personal revelation of Jesus that's about to happen in this service. You hear me? It's built on what God is doing in your heart, in your life. That you know, that moment where we have this, whoa, this, wait, Jesus is who he says he is moment. That revelation moment is what Jesus just saw Peter experience. Are you hearing me? It says in verse 17, Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven." He's saying, you got it. That moment that just happened, that came from not from, wow. It was a personal revelation. Our faith doesn't come simply because another person told us about Jesus. It comes from an inner revelation that resonates inside us that he actually is who he says he is. Amen? That's what it is. It's a personal revelation. I tell people often that I'm not trying to talk them into faith and believing in Jesus. I'm just trying to give them an opportunity and present my personal revelation, knowing that it often resonates in others and they consider Christ in a new way. Because see, if I just simply talk you into the faith, someone else can talk you out of the faith. That's not what we're trying to do here. We're trying to present Jesus in a way that helps you rethink and think again about, wait, what am I missing? if he truly was the person he said he was, and he truly does the things he says he does, and he truly gives the power that he says he'll give, why would you not want to reconsider? That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to present an opportunity here because it's about a personal revelation. You see, some people, they go along with the community. They've been looking for a community to spend together. They spend time together. They've been looking for a people to belong to. And they come into the group and they spend time with them, but eventually they kind of filter out and go somewhere else. They never had a personal revelation. They liked feeling the belonging feeling in a community. I want to help us get to the personal revelation. That's what I'm trying to do here. And so, after all, it was Peter's time and proximity to Jesus that brought him to the revelation Jesus is speaking of here. He spent time around him. He was close in proximity to him. People say, Chad, I just haven't had the revelation yet. And I say, well, how much time have you spent in his word? How close is the proximity to his church? Because realize how long this took. If we go back, this is the summer of 29 AD, and we realize that the ministry actually started in 27 AD. It took 2 years, almost 2 years, because the ministry started in the Jordan River was 27 AD when Jesus was baptized. So almost 2 years to have this moment. And people want to know why. Well, I just haven't had that moment. Time and proximity. You've got to be around Jesus' word. You've got to be open to it. People come into the church, but they got walls built up. They're not willing to even let the idea that if it's real, that if the Spirit is trying to move, well, he's not moving here. I got things to do, people to see, stuff to eat. Get in, get done, get out. Family's happy that I showed up. Time and proximity, but it's got to be in a vulnerable state. You've got to be willing to allow the Spirit to move the way he wants to move, but not just around you, but in you and through you. That's better than that. Come on. Time and proximity to Jesus is what brought the revelation that Peter had. The next thing, what was he building his church on? The rock of number two, a public confession. A public confession. Look what it says in verse 16. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." It wasn't something he thought, believed, and kept inside. Jesus wanted an answer, and after taking inventory of all he had seen and heard, it brought him to a revelation moment that he was willing to confess. See, a lot of people, they kind of get to the point where they go, "I actually do think it was Jesus. I think he's been working in me." It's like, yeah, but he's been working in you for years. What are you going to do about it? Well, it's a personal faith that I don't bring it into the public space. But that's not what he's building the church on. It happens internally, must come out. If there's no overflow, is it real? But people go, I do think it's Jesus. Well, Peter got to the place where he said, this revelation brought forth a public confession. Wow. His revelation caused him to confess who Jesus really was in front of witnesses. And I'll tell you, we're going to see so many people do that November 19th for our water baptism service. How many are excited about that? What a power-packed service that's going to be, because we're doing water baptisms on the Symphony of Thanksgiving. That is going to be amazing. People are going to talk about the goodness of God and how thankful they are, and then there are going to be people climbing into the water to say, man, I'm thankful. I'm going public with my faith. Amen? Woo! That's good stuff. But Peter's revelation and confession was not contingent on the agreement, acceptance, or opinion of the world. In fact, he considered their opinions on the way to his revelation, but it did not negate his findings. It was in the face of other opinions that he took his stand. Remember? Verse 13, Jesus says, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They're all sitting there. They're all listening. They're all replying. This is what people say. They say, "You're John the Baptist." Others say Elijah. Still others say Jeremiah or the prophets. What's amazing is Jesus was like, okay, well, what are people saying? He airs out the people's opinions and thoughts and then directs the question to them. Peter's revelation came off of the back. It stood through other people's opinions. The revelation that he spoke publicly was after considering what everyone else thought. Can I tell you, Don't allow other people's thoughts to keep you from your revelation. Don't allow other people's pressures and what they consider to keep you from the thing God's trying to do in your world and in your life. Amen? Is that good? Because it was there that Peter had the revelation. And what I love about this is I read through the scriptures, these first two things, the personal revelation and the public confession, what comes with these first two things? With the first two will come these two things. Number three, a supernatural power. We're still talking about the church and what Jesus is going to build, and in our present day is building, right? And then he was talking about what he was going to do. Now we literally see it happening. But the thing I love about it is when this is the first time Jesus talks about church, his church. Do you realize that? He's not going to get ahead of the buggy. He's not going to talk about his church when no one's had a personal revelation. So it's the minute there's a personal revelation, Jesus goes, hold the phone. Let's talk about what my church is going to look like. Because I see it is happening. The Father is already revealing. You see, Jesus wasn't going to be like, hey, guys, you know who I am, right? Like, let's just be honest here. Remember? Hawk the loogie. Put it in that dude's eyes. He can see now. You remember all the weird stuff that you guys are going, wow, that's powerful. It's because I came from somewhere. You know? He's like, two answers. You know, he's trying to play the game. That's not Jesus. He was saying, I'll just wait until God reveals it to him. I'm going to go about my business. See, too many people are trying to tell people who Jesus is rather than being the light that allows them to have the revelation themselves. Jesus himself didn't even do that. Now, that doesn't mean we go silent. It just means we allow our, you know, the worst thing is when people talk about Jesus but don't live like him. And you go, Chad, I'm not perfect. I'm not condemning anybody. I'm just saying let's make sure that our actions speak louder than our words and that our words do, in fact, reflect our actions. Let's be the first to call our own wrong. Let's be the first to be like, oh, I can't believe I did that. My bad. Let's be the first. But when Jesus starts talking about his church, he talks about the supernatural immediately. Look what it says in verse 18. He says, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. What's it saying? It's so powerful, nothing else can overcome it. Because the thing that is other than God's world and in heaven, the next powerful thing is hell. So if he's saying the gates of hell can't overcome it, what he's saying is nothing can overcome it. Did you hear me? Because we live in a world where there is a powerful draw and pull of the wrong. The enemy is doing things in a powerful way. And what he's saying is the powers that you will understand, the temptations you will know, they will never overcome my church. Because there's going to be a supernatural power that comes with my church because it's mine. Separated from Jesus, there's no power. You want to know why we talk so much about Jesus? Is because he's the only access point for the power. He's the only reason for our hope. You know, we can't just say, oh, man, thank God, God loves us. Thank God Jesus gave us a bridge to walk back to God, who now sees us through the blood of Jesus and says, hey, you are mine again. Yes? So a supernatural power. And then it goes on to verse 19 and it says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Amen? And people go, well, that's only for Peter. No! Did you read the rest of the New Testament? Look at what Paul does. Look what people... Where do I begin? Just come long enough and I'll tell you about all the stories. Okay, but listen to me. Open the Bible and jump to the New Testament and read all the things that God did through everyone else that wasn't Peter. And then you'll open your eyes and realize that he was talking about a revelation that day, not on the literal Peter. Which should give you hope because it means we have access to that as his church. And so, wait, the first time, let's go back for a minute. Wait a minute. The first time Jesus speaks of his church, he includes the supernatural as normal? Yes, it shouldn't surprise us as he walked in the supernatural. He commissioned his disciples who flowed in the supernatural. Even today, we still see the fruit of the supernatural in acts of faith and healing. Yes, he talked of the supernatural as if it was super of the natural. Not as if it was so crazy and kooky no one would even understand it. Not as if there was no fruit that would actually confirm it. I'm preaching, and I'm trying to find a balance here. We shouldn't be surprised he spoke of the supernatural. What we should be surprised about is that many churches are trying to keep the supernatural out for fear of what it looks like. I'm not talking about people flopping or falling. I remember I went to how many understand, it's important for you to know this. When God's Spirit moves, a lot of things are happening. Okay, so I went to kind of a revival meeting years ago out of state, and I'll leave it that vague for purpose sake. But I remember going there, and God was doing a lot of tremendous things. A lot of things were going on, and it was amazing, and there was some good fruit that was seen from that. I knew that God was involved, but I learned at a very young age, when God's Spirit moves, other spirits move too. For fear of what's happening, and to try and steal the seed from anybody that is on the fence. And so I remember sitting there, and the Spirit's moving, and people, you know, it's crazy. It's like an upper room. Understand, if you go to a revival meeting, you're going to an upper room. Expect to see crazy things. Right? And who are you to decide whether it's of God or not? In the manner and meaning, I mean, just because you don't have the formula to decide exactly. You've got to wait to see what the fruit is. Right? But I remember there was a guy who didn't know what to do. You know, he was absolutely... You know, he was in what looked like the groove, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he ran up on the stage, grabbed an American flag, and just ran around the building like 20 times. And I'm like, "Nero, there he goes again. Nero, there he goes again. Nero, there he goes again." And I was just like, I was expecting some crazy, I'm going to be honest. But what was the fruit from that? See, if a few people can go overboard, it looks like it negates everything that happened. So I'm not talking, when I say that the supernatural is a normal thing in the church, I'm not talking about people running and grabbing a flag and running around the church, directing attention to themselves instead of what God's trying to do. The fruit of something shows. The minute everyone's attention went to this guy with the flag, it was very clear he wasn't of God. It was very clear what he was moving in wasn't from God, because God never takes attention away from himself to put it on other humans. Okay, did you hear me? So when I talk about the supernatural, I talk about the stories that Jesus himself walked in. I talk about when we even see disciples walking to the church gates, and somebody is asking for money, and he says, "Silver and gold I have none. But what I do have is Jesus, rise up and walk." And this lame man stood up and walked, and nobody was like, "Weird, crazy, don't like it." They're like, that just happened. That's a supernatural I want to see in our church. I want it to be a super of the natural. When we're moving and flowing in our everyday, we see God do things only God can do. But it was because we knew he could do it, and we were willing to ask. Come on. And so, church, hear me. The supernatural always accomplishes something. It never moves without showing fruit of progress. Did you hear me? It's important for you to hear that. So let us never worry about the people, or about what people think about the supernatural. Let's just continue to pray big prayers and believe God to answer them big. Yeah? Let us continue to pray big prayers and see people healed supernaturally from cancer, diseases, addictions, broken marriages being restored. Let's continue to see Jesus do the supernatural in our midst, okay? The supernatural not only belongs in the church, it is the only place that Jesus commissioned such limitless power. It's the only place he commissioned it. And you go, "Whoa, what does that mean?" No, remember, we're the church. We're the temple now. And he commissioned us to go into our worlds and move in a super way, but naturally. Okay. Number four, and I've got to wrap up with this. Number four is this: unlimited access to the Father. That's what also comes. When it comes from the revelation and the personal confession, comes supernatural and unlimited access. Through faith-filled prayer, we can access we can both access the power of heaven and see heaven invade earth. Do you believe that? Verse 19, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." What does that mean? Bind is to forbid. Whatever you forbid on earth will be forbidden, meaning the power for that will actually happen. And what does loose mean? Permits. Whatever you permit will be permitted. So if I'm not willing to permit that disease to stay any longer, and I believe in faith and I stand in faith and we unite our prayer and our faith and we say, Jesus, bind this. It has no more. It's not growing anymore. Jesus says, I've given you the keys. We'll do it. He's saying, and he didn't say, you've got three times in your life to be able to use this. He said, no, this is just something you have. It's an ability you have. It's an unlimited access. Stop acting like the river's going to run dry. Jesus is who he says he is. God is who he says he is. Then we've got to believe that he's bigger than our preconceived notions and our perceptions. Is that good? In the context was that those who were part of his church had this. The context was those, because he's talking about his church. So I'm not talking about just attenders, but not necessarily followers. I'm talking about people that have been moved by revelation to confession and action. Some people go, Chad, I haven't seen that power in my life. And I say, well, have you taken the steps of faith? Have you decided to allow that personal revelation to become a public confession, to become part of his church? You know, I remember when Jesus used to say some crazy things. You ever read the Bible? You go, what were you thinking, Jesus? Like, I'm not God, but I'm just thinking this is pretty crazy. Unless you eat my blood and eat my flesh and drink my blood, that's pretty crazy. And what did you see that day? People that didn't have a personal revelation, people that hadn't made a public confession from a personal revelation, that didn't have faith to kind of have ears to hear what he was really trying to say, they left. He kept just saying, I'm not trying to draw a crowd. I'm trying to build a group of people that are going to be mine. They're going to be my bride. How many know if you're going to commit yourself to somebody, you want to know they're for you? And I'm not looking, you know, if Julie was like, yeah, I kind of like you. I mean, like, I'll hang out with you. You're fun. I laugh. I mean, like, I guess we could see if it works. How many know I'm not going to be like, okay, well, I'll give you everything. Jesus is going, if we've got any of those kind of half-inners, let me get them out, because what I have to give is to those that are all in. Even today, as we take a little bit of time to appreciate Julie and I as your pastors, it's important for me to remind you that the church isn't built on a pastor or on a Peter alone. I promise you, we carry things you'll never have to. And for your sake, I'm happy of that. But the church is built on every revelation moment, every personal confession that leads to life change. That is what Jesus is building his church on. And I believe there are hearts today that are yearning even now to respond, just as Peter did all those years ago.
We hope you have enjoyed this teaching from Metro Church. For more information about Metro Church, please visit our website at www.metro-church.net. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter.